my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Very good morning to all of you. This Advent season is a bit special because the fourth Sunday of Advent is also the Christmas Eve service, right? So it seems like a shorter run to Advent. So next week is where everything is going to happen, right? Christmas at Cathedral. And at the 9 a.m. service, of course, it's so Christmas Eve. And so it is always evangelistic, I would say, you know, every time. Anything to do with Christmas, it is opportunity to preach the gospel. And our Advent sermons is entitled, or rather the theme of this series is the homing journey. And so Advent reminds us that ultimate home is with the Lord, right? Where He's seen visibly and He rules entirely. His kingdom completely have come. And we're reminded not just in the book of Isaiah, but from 1st and 2nd Peter that we are exiles. We are on the way, on the journey to our ultimate home. And so Advent is about home, you see, because He's coming so that where He is, we can be also. John chapter 14. So this idea of home is a very strong one in Advent series, you know, idea of Christmas as well. And of course, this is also a message we can share with those around us. In the first Advent sermon, you have heard from Isaiah chapter 40, comfort ye, my people. You say quickly, it sounds like comfort ye, my people. All right. Anyways, comfort ye, my people. It was Pastor Hambali who led us through that. And Deaconess June took us through, come down and reveal justice, O Lord. The Advent prayer of always praying, a posture of expectancy, always. The Lord will come, the intervention of His presence. And that comes about when we repent and call out to Him, right? We rouse from our sleep and we take hold of Him to call out. And so that I trust is a very powerful Advent sermon. It's, for some reason, you've been traveling. Actually, most of us have been traveling here and there, right? You're going to miss some Advent sermons. And when you know that through the app or on the internet, on the website, you can easily just pick up and hear again and just catch up on some of these Advent sermons as you're driving. You just easily put it on. Right. So today, come and prepare your bride. Come and prepare your bride. And lo and behold, Advent is not just about God saving us, but restoring us to a purposeful life. And so we start with, we look at Isaiah chapter 61. So keep your Bible open there. Now read the first two verses to us, how the Lord has restored us. And these two verses should be familiar to you. If you've been a Christian for a while, you'll be aware that these are the very words that Jesus used when He inaugurated His ministry, recorded first in Luke chapter 4. I read for you again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. And so it starts off with this, the Lord has anointed me, of course, pointing ultimately to the Messiah in our Lord Jesus Christ. He has anointed me for seven purposes. And so there are seven purpose clauses here. I just want to quickly go through them. First of all, there's good news for the poor. There's good news for those who are poor in every way, materially, in a family, as a culture, as a race, right? And there's a promise that that cycle of poverty can be broken. Now, this is an amazing promise. Now, we Singaporeans, at least most of us, won't really understand this. Okay, you belong to a culture, a race, or religion, but you feel you're trapped. Not just for now, but for generations to come in poverty, in a sense of being repressed, a sense of feeling you're second class. That's a terrible state to be in. One cabinet minister was talking to me in my previous parish. It wasn't a cabinet meeting. I'm not a cabinet minister. But anyway, he came visit us in our Anglican parish, and he told us this, don't give up oranges, don't give up free food to those who are poor in the neighborhood, but do something much more than that to help them break out of the poverty cycle, right? Like education or some kind of help the family to be stable. So our city community service is such work. It's amazing work. That's why we're trying to be investing a lot of time. Some very dedicated members of Cathedral are involved, staff as well, because they're helping people to break out poverty cycle. PKH, Project Kerman Hope, is right on. This is at the heart of the mission, not just to give up free bread and make them dependent, but to equip them to break out of the poverty cycle. So, brothers and sisters, good news. There's hope for those who are trapped in poverty. Secondly, to heal the brokenhearted, those whose hearts are already broken, traumatized. Something has happened in the past, scars, wounds. And therefore, this promise of healing. When someone's heart is broken-hearted, right? Sometimes you cannot say, oh, there'll be healing. It's not going to comfort the person, right? You just need to put your hands around the person to be there and to know with certainty in time, God will heal the wound. Because when the person is suffering at that point in time, he will think, oh, this heart is so broken, like Humpty Dumpty, and can never be put back together again. Well, thirdly, freedom from legal bind. And some people are trapped on the wrong side of the law. Right. So I always praying for Pastor Kong Hee. I always see him as a friend. Some have different views of him, but I see him as a friend because he started at Pearson Ministry. I've done wrong things too, both in my personal life and in my ministry, I'm sure. But I've never been caught on the wrong side of the law. But he is trapped on the wrong side of the law. And you're found on the wrong side of the law, you're trapped. There's very little you can do. The law is the law. It's immovable. You can't move it, right? You try to get good lawyers, try to move things around a bit to mitigate, but the law traps you. And here, there's a promise, freedom from legal bind. And so freedom from physical bind, physical imprisonment. This can also be debt. Someone is caught in a financial debt, or perhaps you are facing some kind of punishment, right? Rightfully punished for something you have done, or you're paying the price in your current life for something you have done in the recent past. And that this promise that Jesus has come to free us from this physical bind. And of course, the year of the Lord's favor. Who of us can say we deserve this or deserve that? Right, or to say that we don't deserve this or don't deserve that. Very often, whatever you think, it is a lot less than what you actually deserve and more than what you think you don't deserve, right? And therefore, we need the Lord's favor, the Aaronic blessing, the promise, Lord, have favor on us, a constant prayer, of course. And then, of course, the day of vengeance. We read this and we think of a very human way, tit for tat, butter for cat, you kill my dog, I kill your cat. But actually this vengeance, divine vengeance is about justice, that God is just. That those who are evil, those who hurt others, there's a price to pay, unless of course they repent. God is just. And so part of deliverance, we're also praying for justice, you see, to be shown. Our life does not make sense, right? So it's a day of vengeance. Of course, a day of comfort for those who are mourning, those who have been victim of any kind, right? But there's this promise of comfort for those who are mourning. So brothers and sisters, this Advent and Christmas, it's good to remember again what Christ has saved us from. This is at the heart, the mission of the Messiah, the mission of Jesus. It's not about being religious, or to be seen to be better, religiously speaking, than others around us. It's not even primarily about one's personal salvation, as if the gospel is a quick ticket to heaven. It is about love, serving, restoring, healing, being just. And if the church always understands what Jesus has come to do, and as we continue the ministry of Jesus, brothers and sisters, in every culture, in every time, in every season, the church will always have a relevant message. And I'm reminded from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I love to read it in the King James Version. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? but to do justly. Can you repeat after me? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Can you turn to your neighbor and say these three things again? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. I would say the whole swath of sin or wrongdoing, if not all, can be captured in these three phrases. Some say, Pastor, you're wrong. What about sexual sins? Where do you find this? Yeah? To do justly. Right? Because when you're sinning sexually, you're always doing an injustice towards the person or towards someone you're committed to. And you can think of many other. Of course, you may think of one or two kinds of sins that don't fit into this category, to this whole spectrum. But this is a very powerful reminder what is right and what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To walk justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before thy God. Keep this at the heart of how you see life, what is right and wrong. It's not about the big things, going on mission and coming up to preach and sacrificing a life to serve as a vicar, especially vicar cathedral, that's the end, you know, right? But it is the small things, these small steps of obedience that truly reflect Christ in our lives. So, a reminder what salvation is, right? Now He saves us. And brothers, it's amazing that He's preparing us to be beautiful. He has glorified us. I'm not talking about divine glorification here. But He has made us more than what we are. So I read verse 3. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. For He has clothed us with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And this amazing, again and again, it's not the first time mentioned Old Testament or in the New Testament, how God restores us, saves us, wipes us clean, and He raises us for a higher purpose. That's the amazing thing. He didn't just heal us and say, okay, now leave the hospital. But He prepares us. He adorns us. He beautifies us. He glorifies us. He helps us recover our identity and recover our sense of a greater destiny, what He has called us to be. The word instead of, by the way, in Hebrew, it means an equivalent substitution, completely. Instead of this, is this, right? I always call that the Ephesians chapter 2 thing, you know, right? How we were dead in Christ, but now He raised up to sit with Christ in the heavenly places. A complete substitution, right? It's not just to normal, more than normal. Because we're down here, we're way below the normal mark. And now He raised up us up above the normal line. He heals us, He restores us, and He raised us up. Now, you know something? This sermon, this text, reminds me of this song. You want to hear it? I get to sing again. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Sometimes people tell me, when you preach, there are traces of your brother. You know, I suppose I've been in a Pentecostal church, I'll end up preaching like this all the time. But this song, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, was a favorite. So every church dance was being put to this song. Mother's Day, they sing it. Father's Day, they sing it. So at home, the reason why I'm making a fool of this, because at home when I sing it, the plates will fly. The bread will fly, you know, slices of bread, because my girls cannot take it. Don't sing, shut
up, shut up. You know, they're sick of this song, right? Yeah. So I'm not sure. Afterwards, the He Sounds Choir is coming. You know, the last time they were here at the 8 a.m. service, I sang the song, Mary, Did You Know? Very poorly. So they came up and they repaired the damage and they sang the song. You may get a treat later on. They may sing the song properly. You raise me up. But so in the very place of shame, that's amazing. He has raised us up to be more than we can be. He placed a garment of honor. Complete reversal, right? So brothers, remind ourselves, the goal of being a Christian is not just to escape death and to be safe, but to live life abundantly. John 10:10. I always had some favorite verse. John 10:10. Easy to remember, of course. John 10:10. To live life abundantly and life to the full. But some of us only living life in a half-measured way. About 2 weeks ago, I had an amazing experience. I met up with these two gentlemen, Caucasians, Australians, UK, and they love church bells. So all their life, spent all their life devoted to the whole science and art of church bells. And they came to brief me, the new vicar, been here only for 2.5 years, on the cathedral bells. And the whole thick file, they've been studying our bells for 40 years. They've been talking to these, talking to the vicars, talking to the bishops. And so now they're talking to me. And they told us that we have bells in the cathedral. We have 8 bells. There you go. We have 8 bells in the cathedral. Now, when they first put it up, this 138 years ago, apparently it's meant to be 12 bells. Right? It has to do with, we'll get all the technical thing. 12 bells. In fact, you climb up, you can see each bell is named after an apostle. Right? So, Kim Sing. What was the largest bell named after which apostle? You don't know. Which one? Come on. Liang Guan. You should not ask. Staff or no? Andrew, but of course. Andrew. Largest bell. But 4 apostles are missing. It's meant to be 12, but only 8. Now, one reason is because as we were building this up, there were some cracks in the tower, so they lost confidence. And they thought that the tower cannot take the weight, and so it stopped at 8 bells. Not only that, these bells are the same bells hung in St. Paul's Cathedral, London. Made from the same foundry around the same time, right? So you have been to London, you can see how beautiful the bells sound, right? So these bells are meant to be swung, you see? Right? As they are swung, they are rung. Right? It rhymes. Yeah? Swing and sing, you know. But because there wasn't confidence in the strength of the tower, they just hang it stationary, put a clapper to it, right? A rope to the clapper, and now all it does is you just move the clapper to hit the bell. So, dong. Instead of chiming, wong, 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 it's just dong. Dong, dong. I'm not sure whether I have the thing here. You want to hear St. Paul's Cathedral sound? Huh? I'll let you hear. This is how it's supposed to sound. Have you heard these bells sounded this way? Never, right? So for 138 years, it's like a Steinway grand piano. Imagine we buy a Steinway grand piano. But to preserve the sound, we tell Sasha, you cannot play the lower half. Just play the upper half. So it sounds like a some kind of a small piano. For 130 years. I can't even say, let's make the bells swing again. It's never swung. Never. Swung. So, this is the only religious sound we can do in Singapore, as you know. Yeah. Do you like to make it sing again? These bells are only one of its kind in the whole of Southeast Asia. Right? So, let's pray. And if some of you want to donate, that will help too. And I'm determined in 2018, it should sing, it should ring the way it should. You can understand. And so this band is be pleading and almost tears in the eyes. 138 years. Right. Brothers and sisters, I'm sharing this because our lives can be that way too. Half measure, a muffled sound, a full potential that's never been realized. And when you know that God has adorned you with a beautiful headdress, He calls you to be His bride. In fact, Advent is about preparing His bride, preparing you. All the work He's doing in your life is to prepare you to be more beautiful. And He calls you my son and my daughter. That's an amazing thing. So in verse 9, and He wants you to be known. The offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples, and all who see them shall acknowledge them, and they are an offspring that the Lord has blessed. Remember, back to what I said just now, when we act justly, we love mercy, and we walk humbly. Thank you for reminding. Walk humbly. This is how we bring praise to God. Amen. And not only that, now we are commissioned, as I said, not only make us beautiful, now we're commissioned to an amazing task. So verse 4, they shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastation, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. And I'm sure during the time of the exiles returning, the landscape of Jerusalem must be very depressing. The next slide. Guess what city this is? Could be somewhere in Philippines. Could be. But this is in Syria. I need to pray for Syria. There are many Christians in Syria. Of course, we pray for Syria, not just because there are Christians there. But many cities look like this. So for many generations, culture, everything is destroyed. Civilization destroyed. We need to pray. We need to pray. And here, God has entasked us. Of course, here speaking metaphorically, but entasked us with the task to build up the ancient ruins, to raise the former devastation to its former glory. And we need to pray for Philippines as well. All right, that part of Philippines, what is that? Mandawi. Right? That we pray will be isolated incident. Now it's quite a big task, right, to restore the city. We pray that will never happen to the rest of Philippines or to the rest of Southeast Asia. But we are called, brothers and sisters, not to tear down, but to build up. That's the role of the church. To be restored, to be restorers. So this is the Advent message as well, as we have prayed in our collect today. There will be messengers of peace, that we will restore the world around us, to restore God's image in each one of us, in mankind. For we are called to have dominion over the world. Genesis 1 verse 26. Not to abuse the world, but to be responsible, like a good gardener, taking care of the garden, nursing it, caring for it, so that it's maximized, so that humanity can know who they are, who they are called in God. And that's to be like Jesus. That's to continue the ministry of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we can make a big difference. The next, so I think I prepared a quote for you. This is a beautiful quote from William James. I can just read it here. And he said this. Sometimes you wonder, can I make a difference? He said this: I'm done with great things and big plans, great institutions and big success. I am for those tiny, invisible, loving human forces that work from individual to individual, creeping through the crannies of the world like so many rootlets, or like the capillary oozing of water, which, if given time, will rend the hardest monument of pride. That's a Christian message. That's been the message of the church. Of the first Christians were ordinary people. They were slaves. They were housemates. Yeah? They were unknown people. But they went out and spread the
gospel.
Each one of us can be part of this army to make a difference, restore the world around us. Each one of us, brothers and sisters, can play a part. So I sum up again, Advent message up to this point. Brothers and sisters, keep praying, come down, oh Lord. Don't despair to the point of being godless as you look at suffering in the world around us, right? But in prayer, we pray, Lord, come down and reveal yourself, knowing that he's worked in our history and he'll work again. We continue to pray with hope. And remember the message of comfort, right? That God has called us to bring comfort, that things will change. The mountains will be removed, the obstacles will be removed. A path that you cannot cross, the Lord will make straight the path and cross, like John the Baptist did for Jesus. Likewise, as we look forward to the Advent, we do our part. Ultimately, yes, he will intervene, but we do our part to prepare for his coming. But in today's message, brothers and sisters, that he has prepared us to be a beautiful bride, a bride that brings glory to him, a bride that carries the message of the groom, the bride that will restore what is broken in the lives around us and in this world. And at the end of this, brothers and sisters, Christmas is a wonderful opportunity to do that. No, Christmas, our Christian message is unique. I was talking to someone who's from another religion and I'm asking this person, why don't you go around evangelizing? And this person's reply to me was swift and quick. He said, because we have no message. We have no message of salvation. We can't walk and knock on the door and say, God loves you. That there's hope for you. We can knock on the door and say, you are a sinner. Be religious. Pray five times a day. Be religious and somehow reduce the punishment in eternity. Right? And he said, but you Christians have an entirely different message of salvation and hope. Christmas, in a sense, our God is the reason why I'm a Christian today, of course. But Christmas was the first thing that God used when I was a complete non-Christian to be drawn to the message of Christ. So don't underestimate. Oh, joy to... Again. Joy to the world. You know, for the first person hearing for the first time, he's curious. Right? And this Christmas, whether the home party or participating, we have amazing Christmas at Cathedral next week. Amazing. You know, there's so many different things for children, for adults, or even for seniors. Everybody can enjoy something. And a lot of outreach should be going on. People will be talking, there'll be conversation. And of course, seeds sowing. Right? Even simple caroling, don't underestimate what the Word of God has sung. How it can penetrate the heart of a person, and 10 years later, he may come to Christ. So, brothers and sisters, so many opportunities here in Singapore, we can so freely celebrate Christmas to share the message of Christ. And will you do your part to bring a friend? Will you come? Will you bring a friend? Will you pray also for your relatives and your friends that they may share in the joy of Christ? Hallelujah. We pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be your bride. Caught, when we are caught in our mire of sin and ugliness, you make us beautiful. You adorn us with crowns, with a headdress. In the very place of shame, you replace it with glory, so that we may continue to be your instruments, your children, to express who our Father is, that others may see our good works and turn to God, our Father. And this is a high calling, and this is a special calling. We ask, Father, by your grace, as we come to a close of another year, that we will continue to embrace and walk in this calling. And we pause to pray to, and there could be some in our services here, Lord, this morning. They are here because they're seeking for something. They're not Christians yet, perhaps. They're seeking for something. We pray this Christmas season, they'll come to know personally who Jesus is and what he has done for them. And so we pause and we say again, God, thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you for loving us, for sending your Son Jesus Christ to die for us, for giving us the greatest gift they can ever have. And may this gratefulness translate into graciousness in the way we serve the people around us. Hallelujah. For we ask and we pray
in the name of Jesus. Amen.